Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. This is page 1137 in the Red Bibles, Red Pew Bibles. Page 1137, John chapter 8, we're beginning at verse 2. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 2. Early in the morning, he, Jesus, came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." This is the word of the Lord. I want to go back to our reading from Romans 7. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Would you please read that with me? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do we believe this? As we just read, Jesus, with the woman caught in adultery, said to her, "Well, where did they go? Is there no one to condemn you?" She said, "No, Lord." He said, "Well, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What words must have meant to this woman? This poor, broken, accused woman. And Jesus gives her grace. "I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more." Jesus tells us elsewhere in John's Gospel that the Father did not send him into the world to condemn the world. He sent him into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. In Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. And yet I hear people say things such as, "God could never forgive my sins. I've done such horrible things. God could never forgive me. I could never be worthy of God's forgiveness or His love." Now, they're not saying the exact words, but in those comments, are not people saying, "I'm condemned"? Isn't that what they're really saying? "God can never forgive me. What is that? I'm condemned." They don't use the words, but that's what they're saying. And it's a lie. Because what did the Scripture says? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, there is no condemnation. No matter the kind of bad stuff we've done, there is no condemnation. Wow. That's not just good news. That's great news. And my hope is that we truly do believe that. Because as I said, I think there's a lot of people who may not use those exact words, but have a sense within themselves that they in fact are condemned. One of the things we talked about yesterday was maybe not so much that it's a lie in our head. You say, well, do you believe that? Well, of course I believe, because that's what the Bible says. I know it in my head, but do I know it in my heart? Some people describe that as the longest 18 inches in the world. Do I really believe in my heart that I do not stand condemned before God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me? It is life-changing when we finally make that journey from our head into our hearts. And so we must replace the lie with the truth. What is the lie? I am unworthy. I am not, God cannot forgive me. In essence, I am condemned. And the truth is, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we have to take that lie, get rid of it, or play over it, kind of like a tape. You know, you write over files. Okay, we've got that file playing. We need to write over that file the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I pray that we all have that assurance of this salvation, not just in our head, but in our heart. So now that we have that assurance of salvation, well, what do we do with it? Well, as Paul says, we need to then work out our salvation. In essence, in some ways, he says, be who you really are, children of God, heirs of the kingdom of God, in whom there is no condemnation. In fact, consider this. When I say this, hopefully it will shock you a little bit. Do you realize most of the Bible is not about salvation? Most of the New Testament is not about salvation. The part of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, most of the New Testament is about working out our salvation. It's about what we do now that we have been saved. Okay, what does a Christian look like? What does it mean to be in this world? What does it mean to live among brothers and sisters? What does it mean in our relationship with our enemies? To actually love those who persecute us? Most of the Bible is about living out, working out our salvation. Now, there's many different ways to look at that, but one of the ways I believe to look at it is to consider that a process of healing. Our God is a God who heals people. I shared that last week. Not just physically, we think mostly of physical healing, but God also heals us spiritually, setting the captives free. God also heals us emotionally in terms of bitterness and anger. God is a God who heals people, not just in the world to come, but here and now. He heals emotionally, spiritually, and physically, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to ask this question. If our God is a God who heals emotionally, spiritually, physically, why is it that there are so many Christians in this world, believers, true believers, who walk around and still carry a sense of bitterness, a sense of low self-worth, a sense of unforgiveness in our hearts? How can that be? We've got the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us. How can it be that Christians walk around in this world with woundedness and bitterness and anger and resentment? Do you know some of these people? I know some. They're good, Christian, believing people, and yet they have within them, I don't know, a woundedness? Things they can't control, like Paul? I don't know why I do the things that I do. I used to believe when Paul's response to that was that who's going to save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. That what he was talking about when Christ comes again, he finally sets everything right. I no longer believe that. I don't think it's just for the world to come. I don't think it's just when Jesus comes again and takes us home. I believe it's for here and for now. What did we hear last week? The fulfillment of Isaiah 61. Messiah came to announce, to pronounce the year of the Lord's favor. Salvation, yes. But also to heal up the brokenhearted and to set free those who are in prison. Not just in the world to come, but in fact here and now. So I ask you the question, how is it that so many Spirit-filled, Jesus Christ-believing people continue to walk around with woundedness and hurt and pain and a sense of unworthiness and unforgiveness? How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, I'll tell you, the problem is not with God. It's not with God. We say, Lord, why don't you heal more people? And he says, well, I have. Lord, why don't you give us more authority to heal? He says, well, I have. Lord, where's the power to heal? He says, I gave it to you. God, don't you care about all these people who are hurting, wounded, crushed, broken, bitter people? Yes, I do care about them, and that's why I've given you, my church, the power and authority to heal, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. Something is wrong. What does peace mean? Peace means that all things are as they should be. Certainly in the world today, we do not see peace, but even those among us who carry within us the very Spirit of Jesus Christ long for that fullness of the peace of God. And so if God is a God who heals physically, emotionally, and spiritually, why are there so many people who continue to carry the burdens of unremorse, unforgiveness, and unworthiness? Well, we're trying to learn about this. And one of the things we're learning is this kind of healing, emotional, spiritual, physical, it's all connected. Healing of body, soul, and spirit, it's all connected. All three of those are connected. And not only connected, but we're learning that there are things that people are finding, biblical principles that are being applied, and in fact are bringing people emotional, spiritual healing, as well as more physical healing, because they're simply related. Some people may not be experiencing a physical healing because there's something happening emotionally or spiritually. So they're finding that particularly as well, that there is a connection there. And so we're learning about some remedies. And one of the first remedies we hear about is that we need to replace guilt with repentance. Actually, repentance is the primary key of all healing. Remember when Jesus came, the first thing he pronounced, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Messiah is coming to bind the brokenhearted, to heal them, to set free those who are. And what do you do to prepare? Repent. Repentance is the key. Confessing our sins to God, going back and confessing our brokenness, confessing whatever we have. Where did this root of bitterness within me start? This anger within me, when did that start? And so we go back in time and we think through times. There's nothing magic about this, but simply going back and saying, when did this start and what do I need to do? I need to recognize and then I need to repent and ask God's forgiveness. And then the healing comes. Repentance is the key. And that's why repentance in this process of Lent, this time of meditation and reflection, is going back over and asking, Holy Spirit, please reveal to me any issues or times in my life that I need to go back in and repent. And healing will come. So the first remedy we find about is replacing this guilt with, in fact, repentance. A second remedy we're learning about, we have to replace the lies with the truth. Remember the instance I was telling you in the beginning about this woman caught in adultery, had to hear the truth, that there is no condemnation. People who go around thinking that I'm not worthy and I'm condemned, they need to take that tape, that file, and replace it, overwrite it with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that says there is no condemnation. Now, I suspect we have many lies of the enemy that maybe even we don't have it in our head, but maybe it hasn't yet gotten to our heart. What are some of the lies that the enemy tells? We're not worthy. I can't be forgiven. This is not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are precious in God's sight. So that remedy is taking those lies that are ingrained within us, identifying them and replacing it with the truth of God's holy word. And so that's the second remedy. The third remedy we find is that we need to go back and we need to replace unclean spirits with the Holy Spirit. This is, I think, best described in Galatians chapter 5, this lifelong process of crucifying the flesh, in other words, dying to self with its passions and desires, and by learning to walk by the Spirit. In Luke, we saw the idea when an evil spirit goes out, it goes in wasteless tracks, looking for it, comes back, if it finds its place empty. So it's a constant refilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is kind of a strange teaching because, in a sense, yes, we have the fullness of the Spirit in us, although we would still consider to say, well, then how do I still sin if I've got the Holy Spirit? I like how some people describe it as we've got these little pockets or places within us that we still set off bounds to the Holy Spirit. As we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell every single crevice and crack within us, it brings the light of Christ into those places of darkness. And those evil things of the devil, in fact, are cast out. So it's, in fact, growing in this sanctification process, of healing process, of freedom, as we have more and more of the Holy Spirit indwelling more and more parts within us. So it's crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires and walking by the Spirit. Now, when this happens, we experience what's known as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what we should be like in the fullness. Yet I would dare say all of us acknowledge in one sense or another that we have not yet experienced that fullness of the fruit of the Spirit. We're growing in that. How do we grow in that? We grow back through repentance, remember? We grow back through replacing the lies with the truth of Jesus Christ and bringing the Holy Spirit into more and more of those crevices and cracks within our lives and more filling the fruit of the Holy Spirit and experiencing it in our lives. It changes everything. It not only changes us, it changes all of our relationships. And this is why Messiah came, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted and to set free those who are captive. This is our desire. This is what we long for. This is the fullness of Christ that we grow into in our sanctifying process of healing in emotions, our spirit, and our bodies. Now, I want to say a couple things. One, that this is not psychology, although some psychology can be helpful. The problem with psychology is on the basis that power for healing and wholeness is within us. It's in the human spirit. And we do not believe that. We believe it is God's Holy Spirit who brings healing to us. I also would say this is not New Age philosophy. It's not paganism, although it is spiritual. And in fact, the enemy will try to counterfeit every single good work of God. Every time God's doing some holy work, and I think healing is prominent among those, the enemy's going to try to counterfeit it. And a couple things were made known to me. One was, and I have a sense of counterfeiting, and I say, oh, you know, God, the enemy is counterfeiting something. God said to me, do you realize whenever somebody is counterfeiting something, that means that there is something true and something real that's being counterfeited? So you don't just throw it away. We say, well, how do I get to the root, the real one, right? If somebody's counterfeiting money, that means there's counterfeit money, but that means there's also true money, right? And that's what we want to seek for. Where do we see the true money without giving into the counterfeit? Something else someone said to me, too, is that it's fascinating that when somebody counterfeits, the more valuable something is or the more dangerous it is to them, the more effort they'll do and importance put on to try to counterfeit. And somebody said, you know, people don't counterfeit $1 bills. They counterfeit 20s and 50s and 100s, right? Why? Because they're more valuable. So the more of a threat something is to the kingdom of darkness, the more the enemy is going to try to tear it down. And so it's not psychology, it's not New Age, but it is spiritual. Some psychology is helpful, but for the most part, it's going back in time and bringing healing, which is the gift of God for his people. And so I think what we have is through repentance is key, through truth, through the Holy Spirit, doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. These are the keys to healing. Repentance, truth, Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ. And the other thing that tells me that this is valid and biblical is that the ultimate goal of this process, this healing that we're seeking, is actually not healing itself. The ultimate goal is actually to bring people to relationship in Jesus Christ, saving relationship through the healing that they will experience. Now, we all have that assurance of salvation here, but there's a lot of people out there who don't. People that we know in our own families, and maybe through a healing process, as we share with them, this power, by the way, is coming from Jesus, it's from Messiah, that will bring them into saving relationship with Messiah. That's the ultimate healing, is it not? And that's our ultimate goal and purpose. So healing is a gift of God. I believe it's for God's people, not just for times to come, but here and now, to set us free and to bind up and heal those who are brokenhearted. It's done in the name of Jesus, and it's done by repentance, truth, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know many churches that are getting into this because it can be dangerous. I've been talking to some people about kinds of churches that get into things and healing, and they feel that maybe God's trying to do something new. Talk about revival. Then we all say, oh, we'd love to have revival. You know what happens is churches experience revival and the movement of the Holy Spirit. It lasts for about 3 or 4 years. And then something seems to go wrong. People lose their way. Something seems to happen. Many a ministry started out very good, very biblically based, very solid, and then something happened. And I was talking to someone this week, and I said, why is that? You know, the Azusa Street, you know, revivals, the revivals in Whale, where you see an outpouring of the power of the Spirit of God, why does it only last? And this person said, it's because a church loses a sense of repentance. We no longer become a church of repentance. Humbling ourselves, pride takes over. So I don't doubt and question that there's a dangerous, a risky side to this as we're seeking this greater outpouring, but oh my goodness, the benefits. Who do we know that is suffering from need of some kind of emotional, you know, bitterness, a sense of low self-esteem, low self-worth? And I believe Jesus is telling us, I want you all to help these people. I've given you the power, I've given you the authority. Repentance, truth, and the Holy Spirit, those are the keys. So as we look at this whole situation, this is our guiding principle, our guiding scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Avoid every evil. How many people do we know that are hurting and bitter and angry? These are believers in Jesus Christ, and yet they continue to still suffer. How many people know that we continue to pray and pray for healing? It seems like nothing's happening, and we wonder why. I thought God is a God who heals. I think we've come to believe that lie that says, well, he just doesn't do it very often. Particularly where there's illnesses, there's no explanation for it. I was also reading this week about this fibromyalgia. People are saying, you know, people are being healed of fibromyalgia. There's no, wow, the potential is amazing. I believe it grieves the heart of God to see so many of his people. These are not unbelievers. These are his people who are suffering from woundedness and these lies of the enemy. And I believe God is saying it's time that he wants to bring healing, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. And so our message today, condemnation, no. Healing? Yes. I believe this is why Messiah came. And I believe it's why he has empowered his church, that's us, to do the things that he did. Remember he said that? And you'll do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. So my hope is what we're going to see here is that God, for each of us, whatever we might have that is not lining up with, remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we're short or we feel, you know, short in those ways, that God's saying, I'm going to give you more. I want to give you more. He's never satisfied unless he has all of us and everything in us that is of the Holy Spirit. So please continue to lift this up in prayer. And as we go through this Lenten time, this time of repentance, going back through as the Holy Spirit brings us things in our lives that began that root of bitterness, that anger, that resentment, or that sense of unworthiness, that broken relationship, whatever it might be, and believe now that God is saying, I want to come into your life by my Holy Spirit, and I want to bring healing to you, that you would more and more fully experience the fruit of my Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's God's hope. That's God's plan. And if it doesn't happen, it's not his fault. If it doesn't happen, it's not his fault. Let me read to you the rest of this First Thessalonians. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace, what is peace? Shalom, being as they should be. What are we supposed to be? Filled with the Holy Spirit, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, in the fullness. The God of peace himself will sanctify you completely, sanctifies, make holy. He's working in us, working at our salvation, the sanctification, making holy, bringing healing. May he sanctify you completely, and may your whole, here's the three, spirit, soul, and body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Because he loves you more than you can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is now no condemnation for us who believe in Jesus. Father, we also thank you for this sanctifying process of working out our salvation in body, in soul, and in spirit through repentance, through the truth of your word, and by your Holy Spirit. That all is done in the name of Jesus Christ for the sake of bringing people to Jesus Christ. That we may all live in the fullness of his grace, mercy, and healing. So, Father, guide us, we pray, that we may fulfill your calling upon us, believing that you who are faithful will do it, all to the glory of your name. And so it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.